Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare! All the naughty bits exposed. Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up.
You're not going to believe this.
You're not going to believe this.
We're in the same boat.
Yay.
Diana came back to me for the holidays.
Oh, Aaron wished it and Santa sent me.
Best Christmas ever.
It's like in Love Actually. All I want for Christmas is you.
All I want for Christmas is you.
Hi, so welcome back to Fuck Shakespeare.
Sorry for the long hiatus there.
Yeah, things happened. Life happens. Death happens.
Yeah, my mother died.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that.
That. That was a big thing.
That was a big thing.
And therefore, we took some time to honor that transition.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, in the United States, we don't do death well.
No. We have to learn how to do that better.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And help others to learn how to do that better.
Yeah. Yeah, but I've been in England, and it's been fun, and I've been learning lots of things about the Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
She's all smart now.
Oh, I'm smart. Yeah. I made my mother read my essay last night, and she was like, gosh, there's so many words I don't understand. And I was like, I'm getting all scholarly and whatnot.
She's leaving us all behind.
Oh. No, it's very fun. And yeah, it's interesting to learn to be a scholar again.
Yeah, it's been a while since you were in school.
Yeah, and it's very different.
Oh.
I was like, 4 decades ago when I wrote my last essay. Jesus Christ.
Oh,
okay.
Fuck. All right. So here we are, back to Richard.
Yes.
Yes.
And when we last saw our heroes.
Yes, do remind us where we were, because I've completely forgotten.
What the fuck happened when we last saw our heroes? Well, when we last saw our heroes, Richard and Buckingham said,
oh,
let's go off and get the prince.
That's right.
Don't let them leave us behind.
Yes, and we had that whole conversation about what Buckingham thought was happening and what Richard thought was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, off they went to Ludlow, and so I actually looked at the map this morning, because later the Archbishop clearly mentions a couple of towns that they're passing through, and I was like, where is Ludlow? And it's actually to the west of me in Stratford. So, yeah, coming on through some of the countryside that I'm familiar with now.
Which that's is really so fun. Cool.
Yeah, but first, in this episode, we've got a couple of short scenes before we see what happens with Richard and Buckingham coming back from Ludlow. Mm-hmm. And we have a scene that Shakespeare does really well, which is those little scenes where he lets us listen to the common people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Which would not be possible if you were the Earl of Oxford.
Because the Earl of Askford.
That's what you heard, yeah. Yeah.
Would never have listened to commoners and how they spoke.
Or fucking cared about what they thought.
Exactly.
You know?
So. And anyone who says that, oh, he threw those scenes in there no, he did not, because he's an ass cushion. He wouldn't know how to make the commoners laugh.
Yeah. And he wouldn't know what their concerns were and stuff. And
what am I brushing up against? It's that one. Okay. Making all these crinkly noises with my head.
Crinkly. She's very sensitive to crinkly.
I am. Anyway, sorry. So, yes, Axford did not write.
No. Definitely not this play. He might have written some love notes to his
paramour.
Yeah. Okay, we'll call it that. But no. So here we have Act 2, Scene 3 is where we are, and we're going to meet some of the common people and hear what they think about uncles ruling the kingdom, which they've just come through with Henry VI,
mm-hmm.
right? Henry VI was a baby.
It didn't go well.
And it didn't go well. He had all these uncles fighting over who gets to make the rules.
Right.
And so they're thinking that that's exactly what's going to happen now, even though young King Edward, the son, is probably like 14, 15.
Right. And Henry VI was
9 months old.
Yeah.
He was a baby.
Yeah.
So those uncles had firmly established themselves before Henry got to even the place where he would say anything, right. You know. But this king, you'll meet him, he actually could have been a good king. He seems to be portrayed as smart and such. But he doesn't get the chance. Oops, spoiler.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
It's a tragedy.
Yeah, and in Act 2, Scene 4, we meet the younger brother, Richard of York, named after his famous uncle. And there's an interesting conspiracy that happened around him, and we kind of glossed it a little bit. So he was Edward's younger brother, and the two of them were said to have been carted off to the Tower by Richard III, and then they're never heard from again. Spoiler! But later, much later, after Henry VII, also spoiler, starts to rule, this guy named Perkin Warbeck showed up, claiming that he was the younger Richard of York and that he had escaped the Tower somehow, and he challenged Henry VII to try and claim the throne. Now, since nobody actually knew what happened to the princes, this was kind of held up as legitimate by a lot of people.
How old was this Perkin Warbeck? Because if Henry VII is actually...
Richmond
in this play.
Yeah.
And he was old enough to be in war, which would have meant he was at least 15 or 16, but probably older than that. And at this time, the princes were like 14 and 12?
Yeah. Something like that.
Or 14 and 13?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it works.
So, yeah, it was a few years later, and it wasn't, you know, wasn't directly after he was made king.
Mm.
Came around to give him a problem quite a bit later. And since his claim seemed plausible, and since people were not really happy with Henry VII, he did rally some support. And he attacked England a couple of times, landed in different places with some small armies, and they had skirmishes and things, and he was repelled. But he was finally captured and executed in 1499 after probably being tortured, and therefore he signed a long confession that said, no, I'm nobody, and I was born in what is that stupid piece of France?
Burgundy.
That's the one.
we always have that problem. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
We always go, but
what was that thing? Burgundy.
Burgundy.
Right. He was born there, and you know, he signed a long confession, and he went to his death. But it was really interesting because dealing with him cost Henry VII the equivalent of what would be $10 million now. And that's why his whole financial situation was really bad. And he had to go to the Spanish and try to get a princess to marry his son. And we know how that turned out.
Well, if you hadn't been paying attention, that would be Henry VIII and Catherine.
And Catherine of Aragon. Yep. And that... was a domino that,
well,
you know,
actually, Henry VIII was the second son, was he not?
Yes,
yes,
he was
the second son.
But so, she married Edward first, and the
Edward,
whole claim
right.
of that she didn't,
yeah.
you know, sleep with him and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's like virgin birth, whatever.
Yeah. Long, long domino effects there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hence we have the Church of England.
Yes. little interesting backstory to young Richard, who we're going to meet in this episode. Alrighty?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. We're citizens and citizens.
Okay, who do you want to be? Because we didn't figure this out beforehand.
Yeah. You be first and second, I'll be third.
Okay.
Third is the dissenter.
Okay.
Okay.
Alright, so here we go. In a street. First citizen. Neighbor, well met. Whither away so fast? Second citizen. I promise you, I scarcely know myself. Hear you the news abroad? First citizen, aye, that the king is dead. Second citizen, bad news, bar lady, seldom comes the better. I fear 'twill prove a troublous world.
Yeah, by Our Lady is a mild oath, swearing by the Virgin Mary. Mm. But I like that he repeats, I fear, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of fear in the streets. Mm. They're not happy. So another guy comes in, third citizen. Neighbors, Godspeed.
First citizen, give you good morrow, sir.
Doth this news hold of good King Edward's death?
Second citizen, aye, sir, it is too true. God help the while.
Then masters look to see a troublous world. The second time they've used that
troublous
word.
Right? World. Troublous world. Yeah. First citizen, no, no, by God's good grace, his son shall reign.
Yeah, young Edward, it's going to be fine. Third, woe to the land that's governed by a child.
Second citizen, in him there is hope of government, that in his nonage counsel under him, and in his full and ripened years himself, no doubt shall then and till then govern well.
Yeah, nonage means immaturity. So he's got these uncles, these adults around him who are going to make decisions until he's ready to.
Mm-hmm. First citizen, so stood the state when Henry VI was crowned in Paris, but at 9 months old.
And so he's like, yeah, we have precedence for this. Third citizen, stood the state so? No, no, good friends, God wot. For then this land was famously enriched with politic, grave counsel. Then the king had virtuous uncles to protect his grace.
First citizen, why, so hath this, both by the father and mother.
Yeah, so the third citizen was like, that other kid had better people around him. Well, did he?
Yeah, we're not so sure. Yeah. And the first citizen's like, on both his mother's and his father's side, he's got people.
He's got uncles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'll be all right. Third, better it were they all came by the father, which is actually him questioning the legitimacy of the children, which is going to be a thing that's brought up by Richard later. And then he's in contrast with that. He says, or by the father, there were none at all. Or it would be better that Edward had no sons at all, because then the adults would choose another adult. And then we'd at least have an adult king, and it would be, you know, better. Better, better. We have better, better. Yeah. For emulation now, who shall be nearest will touch us all too near, if God prevent not. So whatever choice now is going to be made is going to be a tough one. For us little people, okay? Oh, full of danger is the Duke of Gloucester. Yeah, that's obvious. And the Queen's sons and brothers, hot and proud. So the Queen's sons are not any good either.
They're haughty and proud, and they're not even noble.
They're out for themselves.
Yeah.
And were they to be ruled and not to rule, this sickly land might solace as before.
First citizen. Come, come, we fear the worst. All shall be well.
Yeah, so the third citizen's like, if someone else kept them in check, we'd be okay, but not these guys. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do a good job. So now the third citizen brings in all of these metaphors from the natural world, which Shakespeare does a lot to make comparisons between what is happening to the king and what is happening to the country. When clouds appear, wise men put on their cloaks. When great leaves fall, the winter is at hand. When the sun sets, who doth not look for night? Untimely storms make men expect a dearth. All may be well, but if God sort it so, 'tis more than we deserve or I expect.
He's a gloomy Debbie Downer.
Dude.
Yeah, Debbie Downer. Second citizen, truly, the souls of men are full of dread. He cannot reason almost with a man that looks not heavily. Ye cannot reason almost with a man that looks not heavily and full of fear.
Yeah, so it seems like
he's everybody's afraid.
Yeah.
That's what he's been saying all along.
Yeah, we've got dread, we've got fear. So he's kind of coming over to the third guy's point of view here.
I think he was like that in the beginning because he talked about troublous world.
Yeah.
Fear. Yeah.
So he just needs
he just needs a
little
prodding.
Convincing.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And the first citizen is the upbeat guy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Third, before the times have changed, still it is so. That means any time a government changes over, people are fearful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By a divine instinct, men's minds mistrust ensuing dangers, as by proof we see the waters swell before a boisterous storm. But leave it all to God. Wither away.
Second, Mary, we were sent for to the justices.
And so was I. I'll bear you company.
And off they go.
Who knows why they're going to
the justices.
That's a little weird.
They were sent for to go to court for some reason.
Yeah, I worry for their safety.
Right.
Yeah. That's not so good.
Not so good. All right, scene four. Archbishop of York, young York, who's young Richard, his mother, Queen Elizabeth, and the Duchess of York, the old lady.
The old lady.
Who do you want to be?
I'll be, who should I be? I'll be the Duchess of York, because all I've right. been talking about her tits. And I'll be the Archbishop.
All right.
And you'll be Elizabeth and little...
And the little guy.
Little guy.
And then there's a messenger.
I'll be the messenger.
All right.
Okay. So here we go. Archbishop. Last night I hear they lay at Northampton. At Stony Stratford will they be tonight. Tomorrow or next day they will be here.
Yeah, so he says Stony Stratford because there's actually two Stratfords, which is really fucking confusing in England.
Why do they do that?
It's annoying. There's a Stratford that's near London that's not Stratford-upon-Avon. So when people come to visit me, they're like, oh, you're very close. I'm like, no, that's not the one.
I'm upon Avon.
Yeah. I'm upon Eva.
And the Duchess of York. I long with all my heart to see the prince. I hope he is much grown since last I saw him.
Yes, Prince Edward, Queen Elizabeth. But I hear no. They say my son of York hath almost o'ertaken him in his growth. So my son of York, Richard, is grown taller than him, maybe. Mm-hmm. And little York. Aye, mother, but I would not have it so. Maybe, but I don't want to be taller than my brother. That doesn't look good.
Yeah, Duchess. Why, my young cousin, it is good to grow.
I like that she makes the rhyme there, mm-hmm. right? It's like she's being a little playful with him.
Yeah.
York. Grandam, one night as we did sit at supper, my Uncle Rivers talked how I did grow, more than my brother. Aye, quoth my Uncle Gloucester, small herbs have grace, great weeds do grow apace. And since, methinks, I would not grow so fast, because sweet flowers are slow and weeds make haste. So it's a proverb that he's quoting, that Richard's quoting. And it's like, weeds grow fast because weeds are useless. And he, Richard, was a slow grower. So he's saying, I grew slowly, and therefore I am...
Not a weed.
Important.
Duchess, good faith, good faith. The saying did not hold in him that did object the same to thee. He was the wretchedest thing when he was young, so long a growing and so leisurely, that if this rule were true, he should be gracious.
Yeah, so she's pointing that out.
Mm-hmm. And he's not gracious, I've already told you.
Yeah.
He's awful.
Archbishop. Why, madam, so... No doubt he is. Duchess. I hope he is, but yet let mothers doubt.
Mm-hmm. Little guy. Now, by my troth, if I had been remembered, I could have given my uncle's grace a flout to touch his growth nearer than he touched mine. So I could have mocked him for this thing.
If I had known.
If I had known. It's a bit of a preview because he is going to... Fuck Richard in the next scene and piss him the fuck off. Oh, yeah.
Duchess. How, my pretty York, I pray thee, let me hear it.
Yeah, she wants to hear anything bad about Richard, right?
Yeah.
Mary, they say my uncle grew so fast that he could gnaw a crust at 2 hours old. 'Twas full 2 years ere I could get a tooth. Grandam, this would have been a biting jest. Talking about teeth.
Yeah, Duchess. I pray thee, pretty York, who told thee this?
Grandam, his nurse.
His nurse? Why, she was dead ere thou wert born.
If 'twere not she, I cannot tell who told me. Queen. A parlous boy, go to, you are too shrewd. So you are dangerous. It's going to be dangerous for you to talk like this. So yeah. Parlous.
Yeah.
And shrewd, he's too cunning. He kind of seems a little too much like his
Richard.
Namesake.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, Archbishop. Good madam, be not angry with the child.
Queen. Pitchers have ears. He's always listening. Yeah, so it's sort of sounding like he would have resembled Richard a bit more than he does his father.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And enter a messenger.
And the archbishop.
Here comes a messenger. What news?
Messenger.
Such news, my lord, as grieves me to unfold.
Queen. How doth the prince?
Well, madam, and in health.
Duchess.
What is thy news?
Messenger.
Lord Rivers and Lord Grey are sent to Pomfret, with them Sir Thomas Vaughan, prisoners.
Yeah, Pomfret was a castle prison, and, you know, it would have, like, sent a bit of a shockwave through the audience, like, ooh, a lot of people died there.
Yeah. Duchess.
Who hath committed them?
Messenger.
The mighty Dukes Gloucester and Buckingham.
Archbishop.
For what offense?
Messenger.
The sum of all I can have disclosed, why or for what these nobles were committed, is all unknown to me, my gracious lord.
Yeah, don't shoot the messenger. So, the queen's brother and her son have been sent to prison along with another dude, Thomas Vaughan, who we never hear about again. And the messenger's like, I don't know. All I can tell you is that that's where they went. And the queen freaks the fuck out. Ay me! I see the downfall of our house. The tiger now hath seized the gentle hind. Insulting tyranny begins to jet upon the innocent and aweless throne. Welcome destruction, death, and massacre. I see as in a map the end of all.
She's a little histrionic.
She is a little crazy.
Yeah, but so, I like hind for deer.
Right? Hind, yeah. It's a female deer, right? So the tiger has grabbed the hind, so very specifically her and her family, right? Because her brother is not a female deer. She's really talking about how he has grabbed her power. And the tiger, I think, is so interesting. Shakespeare uses that creature again and again as this emblem of ferocity. Margaret was described as tiger's heart wrapped in a woman's hide. Titus talks about Rome as a wilderness of tigers. And yeah, so that's a great, you know, picture to put in people's head. They must have been, like, newly learned about.
Yes, and very exotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then jet just means to let loose. And aweless throne because there's nobody important on it yet. And so it's unimpressive because there's a child king. And I see as in a map the end of all, because maps of that time showed the edges of the world. And all around the edges of the maps, they would draw monsters and sea creatures and all these scary things. So everything at the end was dangerous and scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Duchess.
Accursed and unquiet wrangling days, how many of you have mine eyes beheld? My husband lost his life to get the crown, and often up and down my sons were tossed for me to joy and weep their gain and loss, and being seated and domestic broils clean overblown themselves, the conquerors make war upon themselves, blood against blood, self against self. Oh, preposterous and frantic outrage, end thy damned spleen, or let me die to look on death no more.
It's almost like one-up ya.
Well, they always do that to one another, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I can mourn better than you.
Yes.
Anything you could do, I could do better. I could do anything
better than you. No, you can't.
Oh, boy. How do we always end up bringing in musicals? I don't know. Clean overblown is done with. So she's like, they won the wars, and then they started attacking each other. I don't get it. You know, it's crazy.
That's what happens when you have a narcissistic mother.
Not good for the kids.
No.
Okay, Queen Elizabeth. Come, come, my boy. We will to sanctuary. Madam, farewell.
Stay. I will go with you.
You have no cause. So she's like, don't you come to sanctuary with me. I'm tired of you, bitch. But she's also
nobody's
like,
going to kill you,
nobody's going to kill you. You're ancient. You're going to drop dead any second. But also, you don't have to worry. You're his mother, not his rival. So there's no reason.
And Archbishop,
my gracious lady, go and thither bear your treasure and your goods. For my part, I'll resign unto your grace the seal I keep, and so betide to me as well I tender you and all of yours. Come, I'll conduct you to the sanctuary.
Yeah, so go take your treasure, your son right. The one that you have with you at least. And the seal I keep up, I'm going to resign to you. So I give you my allegiance. And I will take my consequences for siding with you. I'd rather be on this side. Interesting. So we have the word sanctuary twice mm-hmm. as line endings. And so that you know where they're going. What does that mean, sanctuary?
Well, so normally it's in a church, is it not? Because in a church you can't, you're not allowed to go, well, allowed. I mean, people do, but the rule that people break is that once you're inside a church, you cannot be taken prisoner.
Yeah.
You can't be killed. You can't be taken prisoner.
Right. And they held that as a pretty steadfast rule, but so there are a couple of shocking, you know, examples of when they did not do that. Like Margaret of Anjou dragged people out of churches and killed them mm-hmm. and stuff. And
even now.
Yeah.
Even now, think about the really old Christian church in Gaza that was bombed.
Yeah.
And then people were taking sanctuary.
Yeah. And time and again, these examples of like, wasn't there a horrible one where people were locked in a church and the church burned, mm-hmm. right?
It's awful.
Awful. So it's like, okay, we can't take you out. We'll figure out another way. Another way to kill you.
It reminds me of Game of Thrones when Daenerys comes out naked and through the flames
yeah.
with the, you know, and all the other women are
yeah.
inside the...
Immolated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So off to sanctuary we go.
Off to sanctuary.
And historically, Queen Elizabeth stayed there a long time. Trying to protect her family. She had, if you remember, not just these two boys. She had a lot of girls. A lot of girls as well. She was quite fertile.
Fertile Fanny.
Yes.
You know what Fanny is in British English.
Yes.
Yes. Do you, though, audience, know what a Fanny is?
What is it, Erin?
Well, in the United States, a Fanny is a bum. But in England... A fanny is a cooch.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's funny.
That's why when Marianne Faithful says you'll have cobwebs up your fanny and I believe in giving to the poor, she's not talking about the arse. She's talking about the
other hole.
The hoo-hoo. Hoo-hoo-ha.
The hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha. Okay, that's enough.
All right. Well, then fertile fanny makes a lot more sense.
Yes, it does. All right, so that's it for this one.
There's your lesson today, children.
See, we're a lot more fun when we're in the booth together.
I know.
Except we're making a lot more squishy noises.
Squishy noises.
You know, our clothing and my hair hitting the pom-poms.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
But we'll probably be back in that situation soon enough. But anyway, we'll get in a couple episodes here, and we'll see you guys soon.
Okay, bye!
Okay, bye! Ta-ta!
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.